Maybe I'll pick Siri.
In CarPlay. I love that. Someone sent me that link. One of the listeners sent me the link. Just, and their only interest was in pissing you off. It was
sure. It's fun. What's nice is they know me so well.
Yeah, it's just like, just anyway, look, it's not, it's just shit. It's a crap video, but it'll wind Adam up.
The thing is, yeah. That came out like a month ago.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I thought we talked about it when it came out even. I think
no, I didn't.
We did it at the end of end of one of the shows.
Yesterday was the first time I watched it.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the news that hasn't happened this week in the world of Apple. Sorry we weren't here last week, but I had loads and loads of work. I mean, loads, just literally loads. We launched a new camera system, which went absolutely fantastically, so really chuffed with that. But joining me to discuss the week in Apple, an awesome panel. Here we go. Start us off back to the old regulars. None of your superstars now, just us chickens. Starting off with a man who's got a wank with the other hand now. Doc.
How's it?
Wow.
It's like a whole new person. It's pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like strangers in the night.
What on earth were you doing, man?
Here, let me take, I have this, ow, hold on. Let me get, this is my finger, but let me take it out of here.
That looks like a joke finger.
Days without injury sign.
Dude! You, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 stitches!
Wow. Yep, 8 stitches.
8 stitches, man. Well done.
Yeah. This little thing that they gave me to stop from banging it into things is actually pretty ignorant because you know what I actually do? Banging into things. So it's, and it looks super stupid, right? Like it's a little metal.
It looks like your hand's got an erection.
Yeah, so I end up taking it off all the time. But the messed up part is when I take it off, you don't know how easy you just want to bend your finger.
Yeah.
And every time I do that, it stretches my Frankensteinians.
Don't do that.
So, now the thing is, when you get injuries like that, I mean, on your face, it's a different thing entirely, but on your hand, it's got to leave scars. When they say, oh, we could put some really nice stitching in so it doesn't leave scars, you go, no, screw that. I need the stitching that leaves scars.
Yeah, exactly what I told the dude, you know, because he was doing such a good job. And I was like, hey, and he was like, what? And I was like, bro, I could tell from those stitches, that's not going to leave a scar. And he was like, how do you know? And I was like, well, I used to do this in the army under like mortar fire. So you're doing a fantastic job, but I need the scars.
I used to do this. I know shit stitching and that's not it.
No, yeah. I'm like... No, because I used to go and recover everybody else's crappy stitches. Like, I was the guy, right? Because some guys were just really crappy at it. And I was like, dude, on the fingers, legs, and stuff like that, you need scars. I need to tell somebody I'll punch this dude in the mouth and his teeth. Like, you know, I had to get 8 stitches, but I knocked him out. And the guy just started laughing.
You haven't used a machine till it's left its mark.
Yeah.
Well done,
that
mate.
That is true.
You're well done, mate.
It's so stupid, too. So just word to the wise, something that I tell everybody, but I just didn't pay attention to it. Don't take shortcuts, because all shortcuts will eventually bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to clean the machine without moving the head, because...
The thing was, it wasn't on, was it?
No. I was just cleaning, because, you know...
Wow.
Like,
that was just with a static blade. Imagine, I mean, there'd be no dock this week if it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have no hand.
Yeah.
Nope, I have no hand. Yeah. I'd be like, well, Apple, you can go ahead and remove the fingerprint sensor now.
Next day.
Well, you can still use your nose.
Yes.
Can you get a print off your nose? Has anyone tried to do nose print?
Yes, people have done that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all kinds of body parts. I don't even want to know.
You can use a sausage or a hot dog if you want.
There's obviously an item which has a very unique profile to it, which we could have a go at using, but I'll be doing that one after the show. Adam, you're not in the broom cupboard. What's happened?
I've left the closet.
This was upgraded.
Wow, man, she's let you out.
Uh-huh.
So what's happened?
The kids decided to give me a room.
Wow.
So the kids made the decision.
Yeah.
man.
Yeah, they moved in together. So we got an extra room now. So this gets to be my office. I'm in transition, as you can see, but
no, mate.
You're at least heaven. I got the computers and stuff moved.
I can say you're in heaven, mate.
Is that a cat thingy on the wall back there?
The cat tower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, based on the fact that the kids decided, does this mean in your household, your opinion is beneath the cat's
opinion? Good question. I don't know.
That's kind of the way it is with me.
Maybe.
Wife has superiority, then the kids, then the cat, then me.
Yeah, no. It was very kind of them. We'll get settled in. I got to figure out what I'm going to do about it. It's not very soundproof in here. So
have they doubled your rations as well?
Have they what?
Doubled your rations as well?
No, I'm actually having those. So maybe I'll get a little slimmer. Uh-huh. The health channel in the Slack is helping with that.
I've had to lose my beard.
You're looking good.
Yeah, no, the railways decided that there's absolutely no beards allowed on railways, so I've had to take it off. But the wife
So it's hipster discrimination.
Yeah, it is kind of. But the wife said, no, don't take your beard off. Don't take your beard off. I love you with your beard. And then I've had to take it off. And now it's been off for like 10 days. She's gone, actually, I don't mind your beard. The only thing is you're going to have to decide. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the beard makes you look older. And I was like, it does. And she said, but when you've taken it off, you look fatter.
Really?
Yeah, so I've got to decide whether I want to be fat or old. I can't be one of it's one or the other. She does say it like it is. And last but my name is Lise Patrice.
Hi guys.
How you
doing? Without a beard.
Yeah, how long does it take you to grow a beard?
Not that long actually. A couple of days.
You look like you've got less facial hair growth potential than I have.
No, actually, I mean, after a day. I mean, for other people, they can shave once a week, and for me, once a day has to happen. Otherwise, I look like, I don't know, someone.
Just grow it out like a hobo. One time.
Really? That's impressive.
just grow it out for like a month, just so we can see the pea beard.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I can't grow one to save my life, so.
No, I shaved this morning, and actually, if I hadn't shaved, you probably wouldn't notice on camera.
Right.
It's not. I the last time I shaved before this morning was Sunday, and in 5 days I wouldn't have grown enough to show up. So, I cut it down to like a goatee, and then someone rang up and said, "Oh, can we book you for the following week?" And I'm like, "Oh, that means that's all going to come off then."
I have to check. I think I even have a picture with back when I had a beard. So I will find it.
And that's in that picture, you look like you're 12, not 10.
Well, I was like early 20s. So yes, I look like 12.
the week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? What's the big stories? Can't not start with Apple are taking down the cube. I mean, no, not happy about that. Not having it.
It's not permanent.
Just no. They're taking it down forever.
No.
Really? Not.
Where'd you get that info?
I got the impression it's taken down forever from the story I read.
No, they're doing a huge expansion of that location. They're like doubling the square footage. There's rumors they're going to put in a studio for Beats 1 down there. And they've got to load in a bunch of stuff. And also, this week, somebody uncovered a new staircase design that could possibly be going in there with Apple's new favorite material, ceramic.
But so there's
a concept staircase made out of that white ceramic that like they use for the edition watch. And they may be replacing the iconic glass staircase with a ceramic one.
Ceramic always makes me sound like it's poor people's teeth or something. But no, on the story I read, it said it's not clear what Apple is planning to do with the cube, as there are no plans shown for its upgrade or change.
Go read Jeff Gamet's piece at the Mac Observer.
Oh, what does he know? Bennett. If that was in England, that would be listed structure. There's no question. Architecture, that would be a listed structure. So I don't know whether... Do you guys have listing? I mean, you haven't got any buildings that are older than last week, have you? So,
oh yes, we have listing.
You have listing?
Yes, it happens in my building that I'm in right now.
But your building's listed?
You mean listing as in moving back and forth because of the strong wind?
No. List, so in Britain, right, a listed building, you have grade one and grade two listed buildings. And a grade two listed building is of an architectural significance and you can't knock it down.
Mm-hmm. We have that.
A grade one listed building is of architectural significance and you can't even attach anything to it. So if you look at, there's the Fort Dunlop factory where they used to make tires, aircraft tires down the road. That structure is a grade one listed building. And they built the travel lodge on it, but the travel lodge goes up to it and then there's like rubber stoppers between it and the next structure because it's not allowed to attach to it. And everything's been attached inside. When the inside was changed, everything had to be attached inside, and there's a separate shell inside the building because it couldn't be attached to the outside. And it's not the greatest looking of buildings either. I don't get why it's of architectural significance to that degree. But that's what listing is. It's things of architectural significance have to be maintained.
Yes, we have that. Right. They just call it a historical site, though. But right. Yeah, basically the same thing. They build around it or they don't mess with it, or, you know, even when they clean it extra gingerly because they want it to maintain the way that it looks.
It's too iconic of a structure. I don't think they're going to do it. And as far as I know, there hasn't been any discovery of permits for anything to replace it, which you would think, I mean, they're far enough along. I think, trying to remember the timeline for it, but I mean, it's going to reopen this year, so they would have to have some sort of permits filed for a replacement structure. I mean, or whatever they're planning to do, I would imagine.
So in 2011, it was taken down, and it was replaced with the large, more seamless panels, right. Unquote. But I mean, do you think they're going to actually just bring in a single glass cube from outer space and drop it down?
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, they could redesign. I can't imagine what else you would do with that entrance. I really think it's been removed so that they can get large pieces of structure and equipment down in there for the expansion.
What would be even cooler though is if it was replaced with like a Being John Malkovich type door. It was just a door and you weren't sure where it went. And when you went around the other side of the door, there was nothing there. And it was like, like a magic
I don't trick. Know. It's the original. It's too iconic. Totally. Like you said, I think the only thing they could do is redesign it with maybe, again, fewer panels. They could have single sheets of glass on each side, but we haven't heard them doing that either. And those would be massive.
Yeah.
Although they did learn a lot in building the spaceship building, right? They built their largest glass panels ever, curved glass panels for that structure. So
it's going to be replaced with a force field structure that will just shimmer. Nike and Apple are going to launch the new Trull-toned Apple Watch Nightlab. It looks like a skeleton, I think.
A what?
I think it looks, because it's black and white, isn't it?
No, what are we talking about?
So Nike and Apple have launched the neutral-toned Apple Watch Nightlab. Nike Lab.
Yeah, Nike Lab.
Yeah, it's a black and white Nike type phone. Instead of the yellow and black, it's. I'm desperately trying to get a picture up here. If you're on audio, you're fine. But if you're on video, then this is going to be shit. I'll edit. But it's it's just a straight black and white structure of a phone. It's got nicer digits and that kind of stuff on it, which you'd expect from the Nike options.
Oh, watch. You keep saying phone.
I say phone. Why did I say phone?
I don't know.
I need to dub watch into every phone that I've just mentioned. Sorry, guys. Yeah, Nike Lab watch. Jesus Christ. So, let's start again. So, Apple and Nike have launched a neutral tone Apple Watch Nike Lab. It looks like a skeleton to me, fellas. What do you think?
Yep.
I like it, but I like it because of Edward Scissorhands or the other Tim Burton Night Before Christmas thingy. What's the guy's name? The pumpkin on the stick. Jack.
Yeah.
Jack something. Yeah, it looks like that. But I like that. So, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to go make a special purchase because of it, but it's pretty nice.
Again,
Come on.
I was going to say, Apple seems to be moving on this whole white kick, right? That we're moving back to, like, I don't know if they're having nostalgia over the original iPod or something like that.
No, but it's, yeah, because, like, Trump's president
white
now.
White ceramic, white Nike watch now, this rumor about this white ceramic staircase. And we've had rumors of them maybe doing a white ceramic version of the next iPhone. So I guess monotone, you know, we went flat in the UI design. Now we're going to go with black and white monotone as the future.
You think going into an Apple store in the future, there's going to be this faint hum in the background and someone completely clad in white is going to walk up to you. You're the only person, yes, apparently in the store, because it's a virtual, yeah, experience. And you've got this hushed silence. The silence is so silent that it's deafening. And then the person goes, can I help you? And it's like, you jump, because it's that's what they're going towards. It's this ephemeral purchasing experience.
This is the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy version of the, exactly, Apple Watch.
Exactly.
No, it's the Johnny Ive White Room era that we're moving into. You're going to walk into an Apple store, it's going to be like walking into an ad.
It's like walking into a nightmare. You're just going to walk in, Johnny. So I had this dream.
THX 1138.
I had this dream the other night, and I walked in, and Johnny Ive was sat in the corner talking to me, asking me what I wanted, and he showed me a whole pile of phones and watches and stuff. And I woke up this morning, and I'd spent 40 grand.
definitely THX 1138. Though, that's a good statement about this. You know, honestly, a lot of people on Mac Rumors were commenting how ugly it is or whatever it is, but I would rock it, but I'm not going to buy a new, you know, watch just because of it. But if, you know, someone releases a band that looks like this that doesn't cost as much as the Nike band on Amazon, I'll buy one and see what it looks like.
You know there's loads of them out there, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about this exact colorway. I'm going to go look for
it. No, you can get a black and white one, because I bought one before I had my watch stolen.
But what about white and black? Because I have black and white one.
All right, a white and black one then, you.
I was being serious. I wasn't even cracking jokes.
No, if you go to Amazon and type in Apple Watch bands, you'll see the circular hole ones. They do red and white ones and white and red ones and blue and white ones and white and blue ones and all sorts. You'll find one in there, I'm sure.
Whatever you want.
I've had to replace my Apple Watch. Thank you to Zane, if you're listening. Zane in the Slack room has sold me his old Apple Watch because now I've started cycling again. I can't do without it. I do want it, but I don't want to buy a 2 because a 2's too close to a 3 potentially. So I'm not going to buy. So I bought Zane's. Thanks, Zane. It's no worries. Cheers, mate. The thing that gets me about the watch at the moment is. I want more customization on the screen. I want to be able to create my own watch face. That would be something that would be really cool and would really start to make me feel like I wanted to be locked in to wear watches. And I want more straps for fat bastards, because at the moment there's only the one long strap and it makes me wrist sweat. I'd love a Milanese loop that was longer for
Amazon has. And,
no, but they're not longer. They're the same size. And that's the thing that gets me, is a lot of the stuff that you get off Amazon isn't longer. It's just the same size, and I was getting like a red rash around. It wasn't a rash; it was just like a red mark around my wrist where I had it on, I wasn't enjoying it as much. I want better straps. I love the straps that they've got. I think the straps look great. I'm not going to buy a £700 Hermes strap, which is an affront to humanity as far as I'm concerned.
That's crazy.
But I do want the ability to customize, and I want better straps, and they're not giving better straps for fat people. There's got to be, I mean, this is America, for Christ's sake. There's got to be fat people out there who want a strap for their Apple Watch.
Okay. And then people, he meant Hermes, but we're going to let that slide.
Oh, he did it. I was wondering I was going to say something and I didn't even have to. So amazing.
He meant what?
Hermes.
I
Hermes is a venereal disease. Hermes is a design company.
Every time I say Hermes on the Hermes or whatever on the MacCast, so I was wondering if he was going to correct you too, Ewan.
It's okay. I don't mind being corrected, it's just that I know how to say Hermes.
No, Hermes.
No, because Hermes was the Olympian god. I know what Hermes is, and it's Hermes. It's not Hermes. That's some pretentious but French twat who's made that up.
Hermes.
That's what I said.
No, that's the name used by a pretentious French twat.
And Hermes is the okay, let me finish what I was trying to say. Hermes is the enunciation that some Anglo put on a Greek word. So it probably wasn't Hermes in Greek either. It was probably
We need a Greek. Is there a Greek person in the chat room? If you're Greek, put your hand up.
It's a Greek word.
It's a Greek word, and it's Hermes.
I understand that. French word.
I understand that, but I guarantee you in Greek it probably wasn't Hermes.
I guarantee you it was Hermes.
All right, we're going to find out. But when you go look it up anywhere, including the, the AP Associated Press pronunciation guide, it's Hermes.
Right. If there's anyone listening in Greece, get yourself down to Olympus. Get yourself up to the top, right? Go and find Hermes and ask him how he says his name. Because I guarantee you not, it's not Hermes.
I'm going to give you the
link that everybody sends me every time I say this on the MacCast, just so you know.
Yeah, I think it's Hermes because it's a French brand.
Thank you. That's the reason why it matters. It goes by the brand name. They can call themselves what they want to call themselves and pronounce it how they want it, and you're supposed to follow suit. It's so simple.
I've had this conversation as well about the GIF thing. Because someone said, the bloke who invented GIF said it was GIF and not GIF. And I said, well, when graphic starts with graphic starts with a G, so it's got to be GIF. Pretentious twat. Anyway, moving on.
But the person who invented it is the right person. Everybody else is just being their own self.
No, the person who's invented it is being just being conflicted for the sake of it, just to keep the argument going. Good on him. Good on him.
Well, I mean, like, if you went through the trouble of creating something that changed the internet as we allowing us to have clicky clap, you know, memes and whatnot, they get to call it what they want to call it.
Right. I can't get over that Bronwyn, who's another American in the chat room, is saying Hermes is pronounced correctly. It's fucking... I need 22 minutes. Here. I've got a sleep to get rid of. You're not going to get me with Google Translate either, Muller.
No, that's wrong as well.
Anyway, the fact remains, regardless of how you pronounce Hermes, I still want more straps, and I want straps for fat bastards, please, Tim. Angela, get on it. Angela wouldn't let there be straps for fat bastards at all. Phil Schiller's the only
kinda,
one that
it
let
It kind of is counter to their whole marketing about the Apple Watch is about fitness, I guess, right? I mean, if we're really thinking about it.
Because if it was about fitness, they would make it so that fat people could get skinny.
That's like saying don't make running tops for fat people because we don't want them running. God, no. They'll leave marks in the pavement.
Yep.
Oh, God. All right, next story. Server-grade IMAX.
Let's go. He's had enough of that. All right, and CarPlay scores 85% customer satisfaction rate in limited study.
It has to be a limited study because only eight people got it.
So I want to say a big shout out here to Matthew Lapine. Thank you, mate. Lapine. Hermes. Matthew Hermes. Matthew Hermes sent in a link for the video of the two Canadian guys who do Android Auto versus Apple CarPlay. And whilst I have to admit, in the video Siri looks shit, it still doesn't make me want to buy an Android phone. Sorry. It's fair to say Siri does not do well in this video, and I'm willing to understand because Adam and I had a little debate last night about the fact the A versus B thing of the fact that they've said someone's name completely differently in two ways of getting it, but the address thing is constant. It's a consistent between the two, and it's not good. It's not good, and I'm well aware that Siri is a great experience for an awful lot of people in America, but for the rest of the world, it isn't necessarily. What I saw in that video echoes my experience of Siri, that you say simple stuff to it, and she cannot get it right. It is awful as an experience for me.
Well,
I'd love to try CarPlay, however, but go on.
A buddy of mine just got a Honda Fit, and it came with the Android Auto,
Yep.
And his car crashes constantly. He has to pull over and restart it.
Isn't that due to his driving, though, mate?
I mean, the steering wheel and all that still works. That doesn't, you know, not that kind of crashing. But, I mean, like, the onboard computer crashes religiously. And he's, I guess, what's the, like, it's like a plumber. You know, but he goes in and specs out systems when people are building, like, new houses or whatever. So it's like a plumb install person. And you're trying to find directions to people's houses, and his car keeps crashing. So he's super mad. They're working on possibly getting him a whole brand new car.
He just got this thing. I crashed into this tree. Siri directions are shit.
But it's Android Auto, not Siri.
No, I know. Deepan's put a comment in the chat room. It's just like every time he starts it, his car turns blue.
Yeah. I mean, my non-Android Auto, non-CarPlay, whatever shit system Audi is using is crashing constantly, so I don't think it has anything to do with that.
I didn't get the sentence that you said at the start there. That sounded like it was in a different language. Start again.
I said my Android Auto slash car, non-Android Auto slash CarPlay system, whatever Audi is shipping.
Got you. And it's crap.
It's crap.
His Audi designed and built system is garbage.
Yes. Right. Garbage. Crashes constantly.
See, this is why Americans get in trouble, because the German guy just said Audi like 8 times. He's from Germany. The place is right down the road from his house. An American goes, no, to hell with that. I'm going to say Audi.
I would say Audi. Is it? He's saying it's Audi.
If it was correctly German, it would be Audi. But I use the American pronunciation usually.
Vorsprung durch Talk Audi. Shit.
It's Audi.
Okay, so geez, you're the last word because you're the German. Audi.
Yeah, it's Audi.
Okay, thank you.
Next time on This Week in Pronunciation.
Well, it's important, Adam, be fair. There's no decent news.
Wait, I'm going to tell you why this is important to me, right? And I've had this conversation before, but Adam must forget. Here's why it's important to me. As a person who grew up bilingual, the one thing I constantly heard from the fairer people of this country is, dang it, learn to speak English. That's not how you say so-and-so and speak and blah, blah, blah. So what really pisses me off is because Americans will butcher foreign words all day long and then constantly yell at us who start here with an accent. My accent is gone now, but I started with the Spanish accent. And I always got bitched at about, you're saying it wrong, you spick, you nagger, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, all right, so now learn how to say karaoke, and it's karaoke, right? Learn how to say sake, and not sake, it's actually sake. And learn how to say, you know, the proper words for Hermes and Audi and whatever, and then don't be such assholes to everyone else. That's why it means something to me.
Yeah.
Mate.
Having a go at you.
It would be a boring life if we weren't all pedants.
Yep.
I love pedantry because it gets into such good debates. Have I got to bleep the N-word now? You said it, Doc.
I can say it. Anybody else?
I didn't know if I got to bleep it because you said it.
Yeah, and that was in characterization of the freaking dimwits here that's always telling people how to say shit, but they can't say it right themselves.
We've never had that's a technical edit point there that's come up that I've never had to deal with before, I'm pleased to say.
That's all right. And send all their information to me.
Jesus, Apple, do something for Christ's sake this week.
We had a good one. I like the server great IMAX. You just don't want to talk about it.
No, I've got them. They're on the list. You've ruined my list now.
We've got all the Earth Day stuff too.
We got all the what?
Earth Day. Nothing. They did a bunch of stuff for Earth Day.
Yeah,
Apple's tomorrow.
They're going to have some green shirts.
And a special badge. If you exercise tomorrow for 30 minutes.
You get a special badge. Is that like a Blue Peter badge?
No, in the activity app.
All right, I got an idea then. We're going to kill two birds in one stone. I want everybody that's live listening to this show to make it a point to make some time with the significant others and do the 30-minute exercise badge the way that would make your significant other happy. And Patrice, if your significant other is your other hand, just put the watch on the wrong hand. whatever you got. But let's all make, you know, someone's day tomorrow be like, what is this shag for? It's Earth Day shag. Let's do this. We need that badge.
Is there a burst your stitches badge?
Yo, there's positions I don't need to use the hand.
Oh, so I don't know. The thing is, so now I have my phone with me, right? And it's in my pocket and it's, it carries around everywhere with me. And I get absolutely no health information on there at all. So I get no you know, I posted a thing to take the piss in the health room the other day about March done. And I got just completely greyed out rings. I get no rings because I haven't got my Apple Watch anymore. And I thought that was a bit harsh.
Right.
I just got a thing yesterday on my iPhone. It was a notification from Nike that said they wanted to access the health data so that they could start tracking stuff from the iPhone.
Dear Doc, right. From this point forward, please pronounce us Nike.
Yes. Okay.
Moving on. Go on.
You earlier said Nike too. So
I said Nike, yeah.
I think everyone says Nike. Now that's a good question. That was a debate when I was a kid. I haven't heard that one in a long time. So which is it?
Which one's what?
I think Nike says Nike, so we'll take it at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Pronouncing the N-I-K-E word, you should just do it. There you go.
That's so funny.
The pronunciation of Adidas is real funny going back and forth. Sadida.
What?
Adidas.
Bringing up Adidas in the Sadida. Chat room.
Bronwyn Adidas. Just wants a new Apple Mac Mini, but she's not going to get one just yet anyway. So server grade iMac with next generation Xeon Pro. Oh, it's a shame we haven't got Don McAllister here because he used to love Xserve. He wanted an Xserve desperately. New server-grade iMac with next-generation Xeon processor coming at the end of 2017.
Yeah.
Why do you need a server-grade iMac?
It's awesome in one spec.
So can I rack-mount it?
So you can run a server. Thank you, Patrice.
It's for Mac professionals who prefer the iMac form factor. This came up in the secret meeting that Apple had with the five reporters. They mentioned, we're going to do a version of the iMac for professionals. And the reason you want Xeon processors, or most professionals want Xeon processors, I think is there's two reasons. One is support for error correcting memory, and I think you can get more RAM, so 64 gigs, maybe even all the way up to 128 gigs of RAM, but the rumor is it'll be up to 64 gigs of RAM.
But you won't be like to carry it on a plane with you.
You will not. No. The heat is going to be, the thing's going to have massive fans or something. But, for those guys who want that extra.
Does that not call BS on the story, though? Because the thought of Apple putting massive fans back into a computer does not sound.
Well, they did that with the 2011 iMac. I remember my 2011 iMac had massive fans and they were constantly running. So
But it was 2011, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing: is Apple has realized, and if you go back and you look at the notes from the reporters who were at that meeting, they realized that the definition of a pro desktop is different for a lot of people, and there's pros that like form factors because they like certain form factors. So even mentioning, Bronwyn mentioning the Mac Mini, there's rumors that they're going to do a larger, bring back a kind of a server level Mac Mini as well, because there's a lot of guys that use those machines in a pro capacity. It's not a huge segment of the market, but the fact that Apple's recognizing those segments, I think, is good. It's something we've needed them to do for a long time, and they're finally like, okay, we tried the Mac Pro thing, and that wasn't right, and plus we found that when we did that, there's a lot of pros that are using our other desktop Macs in a pro, quote-unquote, pro capacity as well. So now we're going to try and serve all three of those markets to a certain degree. And it's a good move from Apple, so I really hope it does happen, and it sounds like it is.
To be honest, I don't get that argument, because I think it would be more like Apple to say, no, the new Mac Pro is the pro machine with the high-end CPU and everything, and the iMac is price-wise and performance-wise somewhere below that. the only reason why the iMac, I think, is so or has been so successful, especially in the higher spec capacities or higher spec machines, is that the Mac Pro was, well, basically dead for a couple of years now. So I don't get that. I think it would be more like Apple to say, no, the Mac Pro is the Mac Pro. This is the high-end machine, and the iMac is somewhere below that.
And I would agree 100% if Apple had not just said a couple of weeks ago, we're doing a Pro, we're doing an iMac for pros.
Yeah, but well, that can mean really different things. It could mean just, as you said, 32 gigs of RAM, but no ECC and no high-end Xeon processors, for example. It could mean a million things.
But so I think that's cool about these machines is for Apple, right, with the Mac Pro, the biggest challenge is you always have to have someone else that's going to give a display that fits your, let's not even this ecosystem, it's your level of what you expect out of a display. Apple is very, very good or finicky in most cases about what's coming out of that display. So by combining it in a machine where the iMac, where they have control over display and control over the processor, they can give the full-on quote-unquote Apple experience, but then give you the server type system that you want. So, you know, the previous way was the XServe, you brought your own monitor, or the Mac Mini servers where you brought your own monitor. But if you're in a room and you're managing a bunch of servers and you got the one machine that is also server grade that you can use as your console, but then will sub as I got to do business on a day-to-day Mac, this is a very good setup, right? So, you know, somebody running a room like Mac Colo, and they have these iMacs where their sysadmins are running it off from these iMacs, it's a much better experience for them in situations like that, which is common in universities, common in like engineering firms where there's higher end rendering and stuff like that. So I think this is a good look.
So here's my thought process, right? And I'm willing to stand corrected, obviously, because it's most weeks. But if you're creating an editing suite, now that's editing video, editing audio, editing photographs, an AutoCAD station for someone who's into technical or a drawing technical room, that kind of stuff, all of the people that you would categorize as pro, in inverted commas, what's the sequence of the things that you set in your edit suite?
For well, see, that depends, because like if it's like question. You said the video side,
the
then you're going straight off of visuals first, right?
No matter what you're doing, you're interacting with the screen, aren't you? Whether it's editing a technical drawing, whether it's editing audio, video, you're editing something on a screen. So the sequence of things that you lay down is desk and chair, and then the next thing you lay down is screen. And if you look at the majority of pros that are out there, they have screens laid out in the way that they want them. I've got two 39-inch screens here that are filling my workspace in the way that I want them. So the last thing I need, because these are just fine, is two new screens. So you're saying, right, we're going to produce an iMac for pros. Most pros don't give a shit about having a screen. They've already got screens.
No, so I'm saying the opposite pros. That was my point. My point is the opposite pros. The video guys or audio guys will probably still stick to the Mac Pro. But for the guys that are on a professional side that are more like machine management, server management, they don't need that really ridiculous high-end expensive screen. This is a better
need a high-end processor at that level either.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. If you want that processor and you want to go up to 128 gig of RAM, you're screen oriented, and the first thing you set when you design your workstation is a screen. So someone says, here's a brand new iMac that's awesome, it's going to sit in a room, which is maybe why they want the server thing part of it, because all you're going to do is tap into it remotely, because you've already got the screen set up. And the 8K monitor thing, unless you're touching out ant shit, I don't understand why you want something at that level anyway. I don't, there's no logic to that in me in the slightest. And it's not just me sitting as a video professional going, oh, it doesn't fit video, so therefore it doesn't apply to anything. Anyone that's at a pro level that wants that processor is screen oriented, and they set their screens when they design their workstation more than anything else. No?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. The only one that I think that would fit better, and they really would do this for one industry though, would be like the guys here that run the telescopes and all of that. They would probably love these machines. But yeah, I think Ewan's kind of correct. It doesn't make sense if you're going to go from that aspect.
again, you guys are defining one kind of quote-unquote pro, though, in your mind. And I think what Apple has, their data has shown them, is that there are people who are, quote, you know, in air quotes, pros that gravitate toward that machine. And whether that's, you know, like the local wedding photographer or whoever that might be, who considers themselves a professional and wants that kind of power in that machine and maybe isn't at the same quote-unquote pro level, UN, that you're talking about. It's obviously a market where they can sell that exact system.
Sorry.
Can I just qualify on what Adam's saying there, though? I'm not suggesting... I'm talking about, if you've got a pro that wants that processor, what are they oriented to? And they're oriented into visual interaction with the screen heavily.
Right.
And massive data crunching. If you're talking about something that does, you know, big data or something like that, that machine's not going to do it anyway. And they want a bigger output screen than that. You're probably talking about them decking out with 4K 60-inch televisions as their interaction. I just think, you know, given the processor size, that person is going to be oriented to a screen. And I don't think pros who are oriented to that processor power will want something that comes with a screen. They want a box, and they want a box that's mega powerful, and that's probably it. But in my view,
a lot of those guys have more than one screen too. So if you can get your processor and a secondary screen in one, and then add bolt on, you know, a larger screen, that's another scenario that a lot of people use. And if you can get at a slightly lower price than a Mac Pro tower, the right machine that's going to work for you. I think there's enough of a market for that kind of work setup that Apple has just said, look, we know there's a small percentage of pros where the iMac is the thing that they want to use.
Yeah.
And so we're going to build a machine for those people because we think it's important enough. And I think that's a reasonable thing for them to say. And I think it's probably an accurate thing. I don't think it's inaccurate. I don't think there's like, pros, there are pros out there that use, and they said this as well, that are using MacBook Pros with a screen for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You've got photographers and video editors don't even have a desktop.
What Apple didn't say is that they would create a new machine, a new iMac for the pros. They said they would simply ship the iMac with a pro specification. So it's still the same iMac. It's almost the same internals, and they probably just put in another CPU or another GPU or something. I think there is something to what you're saying. I think for the higher end, the people that really need the power, the Mac Pro and the display, an Apple display even, is probably the way to go.
That's what Apple is also saying. In my head, the iMac was definitely kind of the family computer. It was the one that anyone could buy that had a decent power to it. The kids could use it for project work and school work. And it would sit in the lounge and it wouldn't look like it was out of place because it was well designed and contoured. And it was the home family PC in the way that it was designed. I don't think it was designed to sit in a computer environment for pros. I'm not being negative. I'm positive that they're doing something, but I'm trying to reconcile. One of the things
that's always hilarious about this conversation, though, and I read this both in Reddit and on Mac Rumors, is a lot of the people, when they're looking at any new machine, the first swatch guess over it, whether it's good or not, is instantly going back to the whole user upgradable thing. And what we've seen over the last couple of years is this big migration away from user upgradable. And that's even on the PC side, because I look at my Lenovo Yoga Book. You ain't integrating a damn thing in there. It's pretty well tightened up. And I think part of that is really weird because as a person who used to love to tinker with cars, you know, it was a street racer and I was always, you know, changing out engines and modifying and stuff. The thing I loved the most about my last three cars is I couldn't touch anything in there. Everything was shrouded and locked in place because it became a point where you're so busy doing other things, you kind of don't really want to open it and bother anything. You just take it to somebody, pay them to fix it, get it back, go right back to work. And I think we're in this position where we're seeing a slow, gradual move away from that tinkering aspect and just give me something that works and is good now. It needs 2 to 3 years of solid use, and I'll swap it when it's, you know, time to go.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that statement, because I'm not interested in pulling the top off this computer and doing a great deal to it. I just wanted, I bought a spec that there was some longevity to it in my mind. Yeah. I wanted 5 years out of this machine.
So that's here's how I think you resolve it, Ewan. Well, I mean, what I'm kind of hearing and seeing from all this stuff coming out of Apple now is, I mean, it's very different. And I think that's hard for a lot of us old school Apple guys to understand. But I think what they've decided with the pro market is to listen to what pros have been saying, like, for forever, that it's not about any individual machine. It's not about any individual thing. I think what most pros are asking for is just choice. They don't want somebody to tell them what their setup's going to be. So what it feels like to me Apple is doing is they're going to have a range of quote-unquote pro options now, from a Pro Mac Mini to a Pro iMac to a, some sort of pro power system, and they're going to let the quote-unquote pros decide which is the right for them.
And
that's what they've been asking for forever. So I think it's a good time. I think it's a very positive time if you're a pro.
Agree.
I'm gonna add something to that. I don't think Apple will go back to the pro cheese grater. You can switch out the internals. I think Apple.
I think they are for sure.
I think Apple is more thinking about what Thunderbolt is offering. Maybe with a breakout box. I don't know, but I don't think that Apple really wants this fully customizable part anymore.
I don't want a breakout box. I mean, if you come to me, you're saying, right, okay, you and you've got a Mac Pro, what are you going to do with it in 5 years' time or 4 years' time, 3 years' time when it runs out? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I'm not going to be saying, give me another bolt-on box, give me a breakout box with Thunderbolt. I want a unit.
I'm not talking about what happens in 3-5 years. It's really what happens today. If you have some special case where you need specific cards and hardware and whatever, how do you do that? And I think for them, the universal buzz that is Thunderbolt, even on the MacBooks it is. And I think also in the current Mac Pro it is. I think that's the way Apple is thinking. Because it offers all options.
I don't think they're
going to make that mistake again. No, I don't think they're going to either.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see next year or 2 years or whenever the new thing comes on. But I don't think Apple is going to do that anymore.
Deep Pan reckons they're going to return to the Performer range.
That's a good idea.
Here's the thing with, they called it a modular system, and whether that's modular in terms of you can open up the side and stick a box in, or it's some sort of stacking mechanism, or I don't know what, you know, modular can mean a lot of things, but I think the ultimate point is they're going to have a pro machine that you can configure as you want out of the store, and you never have to open it up. You never have to touch it again. When you decide to upgrade, you can buy a new machine. But I think they're also going to have the option, because they know and they've heard loudly enough that there's pros out there that want to swap out a graphics card, they want to put in extra, you know, they want to be able to mod the thing if they can. And I think they need, if they don't build a system that's capable of doing that, then they've blown it again. And I think they really learned their lesson with the trash can Mac. You know, they tried to do something that they thought was going to be right and recognized that it didn't work out.
Yeah.
To them forever.
Maybe I have a different understanding reading of what Apple has said, because modular can also mean that it's modular to Apple, because what they said is that they had basically designed themselves in a corner that they couldn't even upgrade their own internals. And modular can simply mean that Apple can swap in the latest and greatest CPUs and GPUs whenever they want, that they don't have those thermal limitations that they have right now. With Thunderbolt 3, you can add an external graphics card. No, I mean, that is possible. So I think it would be possible even with the current MacBook design to do that. I don't know, but I don't see Apple going back to the slots and the big tower.
PC
MCIA is deader than FireWire.
Say that again?
PC MCIA slots are deader than FireWire. There's no question of that, yeah.
Okay. My only point is, whatever the modular upgradable parts of that, if I have to do it through an external cable to some other thing, Apple has failed. They have screwed it up. That's the point. It cannot be a breakout box where I have to string cables across my desk for a pro. Pros are not going to go for that. So if it's you know, modular components that stack together with some sort of connector, you know, smart connector system or something like that, I could see them doing something like okay. that. I
that's
frankly
possible,
yeah. think it's going to be slots and some sort of innovative thing like that, more like a cheese grater, but I think either of those options work. But if it's firewire cables, like stringing between boxes, that's just not elegant, in my opinion.
Mm.
It's not Apple.
Yeah,
you know, all the joking aside in that video with the CarPlay, the one thing he kept saying is it looks way better in Apple. It does. Everything that Apple does looks better, and it's got to keep that way. It can't get away from the design, I think. And there's lots of people talking crap about the Mac Pro following the Johnny Ive design ethic, and it's beyond function. I can't disagree more, because I love this machine. It's the best machine I've ever owned from Apple, and I don't want to lose it. I think it's gorgeous. So I'm sorry, anyone that says it's shit is talking shit. How long have we been going? 50 minutes, that's all right. We're okay. I thought it was great. Intel are rumored to create a whole new load of chips that are coming out in August called Coffee Lake. I got to say, their naming structure is now as shit as Google's.
Yes.
Good God. Moving on, because I'm not talking about Coffee Lake unless it's a European mountain thing. new drone flyby of the Apple campus at night. And it does look like it could take off. Not drone flying. The campus. The campus looks awesome. It may be the only reason I might want to visit America again, which they're not going to let me now because I've said too many bad things on Twitter. But
it does look awesome.
Is there going to be a pilgrim's entrance? Like the kind of was at One Infinity Loop?
Or yes.
Loop, or they're going to... Don't write to me because I said Infinity, you tossers.
They have a whole visitor center and store and stuff like that.
Cool. Mm. Cool. It does look impressive.
As a matter of fact, I think I read that the visitor area will actually let you get into the cafe as well in the new building, which you couldn't do in the existing cafe.
So you could chow down on some sushi with Johnny.
Yep.
Whoop. What's the radius of that thing? Has anyone got the specs?
It's infinite.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's not infinite.
That was pretty good from the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
It's larger on the inside.
Oh, yes.
It's larger on the inside than the outside. No, it'd be interesting to know what it is, because I reckon, I bet you there's some Fibonacci shit going on there. I will lay you money that if you look at the radius of it, there's some Fibonacci stuff going on about where stuff's located and spirals and all that kind of crap. I bet you if you divide the radius by the height or something like that, it's 1.613.
Apple Park. Yeah, I don't know. You want to know the radius.
I just don't want to Google it because I don't want the CIA coming around.
Square footage at
2.8, I think I'm going to bomb it.
2.8 million square feet.
460 meters? That's not the radius. That's the diameter. It says D-Pan in the chat.
That's the what?
D-Pan says 461 meters is the diameter.
Good man. Mate, you need to get out more. That was a bit quick.
So you should be able to do the math.
No, but that's just the diameter. But so pi r squared and all that kind of stuff.
There you go.
But
you do the math.
No. What I'm talking about is like the height to diameter ratio, or the difference between the inner and the outer is Fibonacci 1.613 and all that kind of stuff. I bet you it's going on.
I do know a report came out this week that there's actually more square footage for parking than there is for office space.
So hang on. So this is one of the other stories this week. Apple pledges to end mining, although it hasn't got a clue how it's going to do it for Earth Day. But they've got more parking available. That's not a very green thing, is it?
Well, but all that parking is like solar panels too. I mean,
it's underground.
Yeah,
and it's all underground, so you're not. Yeah, it's all covered with trees.
In the Apple space too, right?
Oh, so if you cover it with trees, it doesn't count that they burnt fossil fuels to get there. Got you.
No, because you're missing in that part of the town. It's mostly Priuses and i3s and Teslas.
I did. Yeah. I worked.
Do they have charging points? That would be the question.
Yeah, they have a magic crap ton of them. That whole area is, I swear, when you drive around that area, you see nothing but Priuses.
And they have the natural gas buses to bring people in. Mm-hmm. They want to opt for that.
No flying cars,
though. Is there any? Well, that's why the opening's at the top, isn't it? Flying cars can get in and straight down through the trees. Yeah.
Yes. There
we go. Coming soon.
Yeah.
They're having trouble getting trees, apparently, too. Like trees are sold out everywhere. They've, like, tapped out all the trees that they can possibly get. He's laughing. I'm dead serious.
I've got two in a garden now.
You can just see Tim walking through like a flea market in Palo Alto in a couple of weeks, and someone walking up to him going, "You want to buy a tree?"
They're bringing them in from Oregon and Washington, and it's nuts. I forget how many
But the thing is, Apple's not going to plant seedlings, is it? It wants an entire frigging tree that's already 100 years old, and it's just like, excuse me, you can. They're going around to towns and they're just beating people up and stealing their trees. There's a black market in fully grown trees in America now.
Yep.
You walk out in the morning and the local town square it's got a 1,000-year-old oak that's been there, and it's gone because it's in Apple's courtyard.
Hmm. I think Apple even said that they're getting special trees that don't need as much water because they're of the drought or something.
Special trees. That's the word that they use for the stolen ones. Special trees.
Oh, yeah.
They're actually using all fruit trees because Steve Jobs' vision for a long time was to have an office space that reminded him of like the orchards and stuff that he used to work in.
Tim wants to evoke the spirit of Steve, so he's going to eat nothing but apples from the apple trees that grow in the orchard there. And he's going to look like an Umpa Lumpa in 6 weeks.
You'll upset
the Lorax? The Lorax, there we go. Well said. Apple, please do something so we can talk about it as proper news next week. Thank you.
I mean, the mining thing is interesting. Or the whole what they announced.
Are they building replicators? Like, how are they going to pull this one off?
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, even with recycling and whatever they consider, I don't think this is feasible.
Well, the thing I read was one day we'd like to be able to produce new products with just recycled materials. One day, and, you know, and that's like a Microsoft HoloLens video, isn't it? It's just like here's what we might do one day. You know, it's good PR, but it actually has very little substance to it. So they're not winning me over there.
Yep,
I have to say. Oh well. What was that?
I don't know.
That sounded like the I've started to our finish buzzer on Mastermind. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Please support them. Please tell them that you support us and you support them because you support us and all that kind of shiz that goes with it. We'd be lost without them. Anything for the web, VPN, VPS, co-location, servers, dedicated servers, virtual servers. There's tons of stuff out there that you can do with UK2, simple domain names as well. Please check them out, UK2 on the sponsors page at BTN. Or if you just want to sign into your account and show that you're a returning customer from BTN, just go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and it'll take you to the portal to sign in for UK2. We love them. Hoya are coming down in a couple of weeks' time, I think, or in a week's time. We've got the Uniku system that is in full flow. I went and had a kind of test measurement at the exhibition the other week with them, and it was absolutely stunning. The machine is brilliant. I can't get over how accurate it was. Just stood in front of the two cameras. They snapped a picture of me. That's when I had a beard. Mark was there with the system, and it takes the picture of your face and turns it into a three-dimensional image, and then it puts the glasses on in the correct location for your prescription. So everything is built around the correction of the lens, the position of the lens. They are set first, and then everything else is to fit. And the glasses are printed for your face, no one else's. They will be truly unique. That's the point. And they get to the point that even you've got your initials stamped on the inside of the lens, on the inside of the frame, so that you know that they are yours. They were made for you, no one else. I can't wait to get mine. I really can't. And I think John and Mark are coming down either this week, either next week or the week after, to do a bit more on where Uniku's at and when you can start ordering your glasses from them. Please, please, please support Hoya. Go to your local optician, ask them if they do Hoya lenses. Say that's a shame and walk out if they don't. And write to podcast@hoya.co.uk. I was out with a guy the other day and he said, oh, your glasses are great. Where'd you get those? Write to podcast@hoya.co.uk. This guy will pick it up and he will get in touch with you and he will give you the royal treatment, the red carpet treatment that BTN listeners only get. Yes, see? You get special treatment. Time for the cool thing. Starting us off, it's the doc.
All right, so I got a cool thing in the pick. I'm going to do the pick first just because it's fast. If you like British crime dramas, you got to jump onto Netflix and check out Marcella Season 1. Marcella, as the Italian people would say. Anyway, this is a really, really crazy like crime drama that has more red herrings than an Agatha Christie novel. Like, they're just always throwing something else at you. But it's funny because they do a really good job of a super conflicted like female protagonist, and the red herrings teeter on that. This, if it goes the wrong way, it could be absolutely ridiculous, but they never quite topple over. So it's very interesting, very good watch, and season 2 should be popping off pretty soon. Anyway, go check it out. That was pretty good. My pick this week is Apple Clips. When I first heard news of this app, I was like, this is stupid. Why is Apple doing something when Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, all of these things sort of exist? But Clips fits in a very unique spot. You not video happy enough to want to play with iMovie, but you're not the social butterfly that wants to create something on, say, Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. Or you just want to put together something really quick and really fast, Clips is the answer. The coolest part of the entire thing is you could put on the FaceTime camera and narrate something, and as long as you articulate properly, it will close caption it on the fly. That part still blows my mind because it is doing this video thing with the filter and closed captioning at the same time you're talking. And it's pretty accurate. Like, it's absolutely incredible. You can go and edit if you do pick up a wrong word or, like, it doesn't understand my Hawaiian words. But it's a fun app to use. It's really simple. I don't know how they do it, but they even let you put in music from your Apple Music collection as the background music without getting in any trouble. So they've gotten some clearances from various labels to let you put stuff in. But anyway, give Apple Clips a try. And it's free $95.
Excellent, mate. Like that. Sounds a good idea. Did you find anything, Adam, or do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, no. I probed the depths of my applications folder and actually found a utility that, you know, it's just one of these things that I have being a web developer. If you are prepping images for the web, a lot of us know the whole, you know, Photoshop export, optimizing of images and things like that. So you're dealing with PNGs or JPEGs or something like that, and you think they're squished down as much as possible. They probably are not. And there's some other options that you can use to get rid of things that you really don't need for the web, like extraneous metadata, and maybe compress the files even further without gaining, you know, without getting image loss. And the little utility, it's actually an open source tool, kind of a GUI for some open source stuff, and it's called Image Optim. And I mostly just use it with the default settings. So you can take your images that you think are already squished for the web and even get more savings and further optimize them simply by just like dropping them onto Image Optim. And then it has a bunch of extra settings and controls again, so if you want to remove metadata, if you want to anonymize images, you know, like get rid of location data, those sorts of things, you can strip that stuff out and you can tweak all the settings and you'll get your images even smaller, which means your website's going to load even faster. And it's becoming more and more important now that we're with Retina screens and stuff like that. We as web developers are having to actually put up kind of larger, at least dimension-wise, images. So every, you know, 10% or 20% more that you can save on each image is going to make a big difference in the long run. So it's a handy little tool if you just need to compress images for the web and you want to get the best optimization that you possibly can.
So rule one has got to be make your image the size that you want to display it, because that's clearly going to give you a better optimum size. But you're saying you can even get, you could even get more out of it than that.
Correct. I mean, and the problem, again, the problem in this day and age with even that philosophy, I mean, it's great if you can make every image the exact size for the exact, you know, size that's going to be displayed. The problem is that we have everything from an iPhone screen all the way up to, you know, 50-inch monitors that people are using. So it's harder and harder to do just a, you know, multiple sizes for multiple screens. And even if you are, you're going to want to optimize each one as much as possible, because now, you know, you're loading, especially for large screens, even bigger images, right? So, you know, all the way around. But I mean, oftentimes you're trying to find that compromise, right? So you're trying to like have that right size image that's going to work on a 27-inch monitor all the way down to an iPhone. And obviously you want it as optimized as possible. So, you know, ideally you're serving up the right image for the right size screen, but that's not always practical or possible. So if you're not able to do that, you're going to want to eke out every bit of, you know, performance and not lose image quality. I mean, that's what it's about too. So this is a tool that's going to let you compress things even further and maybe not have to suffer, you know, image quality loss either. So it's a handy little tool to play around with. It's free. And if you're doing a lot of images for the web, it's worth checking out.
Already downloaded, mate. Like that one. Really like that one. It's very good. For Trace, what have you got for us?
Sorry. I have two things. One is a small tip. If you have either an electric bike or an electric car and you're in Europe, then now Apple Maps can also show you the charging points that are in your vicinity. Just enter charging station or charging and it will simply show you what's available. That has been available in the US as far as I know since or at least for a couple of months, but now you can also get it in Europe, and I tried it even here in Koblenz. It's working. So that's the first thing. The other thing is this little small wallet here that I have. It's the Rich wallet. It's a minimalist wallet just for your credit cards, debit cards, whatever, and some money. I got the one with the cash strap. There's also a clip, a money clip, if you want, instead of this strap here. It's like, I think this is the aluminum or aluminium version. That was like $65, I think.
Yeah, we ain't got time to get into that one.
It's really awesome. It fits, as you can see, a lot of cards. I have, I don't know, 15, 12, something like that in there. And it's really, really small and really sturdy. So, and it, I think it also protects against RFID snooping because of the metal. So I think it's worth investing in.
Excellent.
I wish you told me you were going to buy one of those.
Because?
I made mine.
Out of wood. I know, you made it out of wood. Right? Yeah.
I made it out of monkey wood.
Monkey wood.
But I got the idea because I saw, I had engraved the Ridge wallet for a customer. They brought it in. Mm-hmm. They wanted to put husband's like happy anniversary or whatever on it. I was like, that's kind of mean because now every time he pulls his wallet out around to buy drinks for chicks at the bar, they'll know he's married. but so when I saw it, I was like, yo, I really want to make one. So I started making it and then Jerome got his Ridge wallet. But yeah, they're pretty awesome.
I will give you guys, you can get 12 minimalistic wallets for about $1.29.
Go on.
There you go. That's what I use.
Bulldog.
Okay. Yes, that works as well.
Cheap ass wins every years. Time.
I love it. It's the best wallet I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yo, doesn't it crack the plastic cards?
No, not at all. I also make sure that I put, like, you notice my Costco cards on the outside and my like AAA my AAA cards on the other side. So I put like flat ones that don't have the, you know, that don't have the debossing or debossing on, you know, numbers like my credit cards. So I kind of,
where do you put your AARP card?
Debossing sounds like a really bad sexual practice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I just carry mine around with all the receipts in for the month that I've gathered, and you're never going to get any kind of radio wave through that. Not a chance. My cool thing, if you're into your golf, I've just started playing again last September, as you know, and I'm slowly getting back to where I used to be. But yardages are always a big thing, isn't it? You know, how far have I got to the flag and that kind of stuff. And Motor Caddy are a firm that make golf trolleys. Here in the UK. I don't know if they make them everywhere else, but universally across the world, you can get the Moto Caddy app, which gives you accurate yardage to thousands and thousands and thousands of courses. You just get your iPhone, you mount it on your, I've got the quad lock system. So all I've done is put the spare quad lock thing that I had for my bike that didn't fit onto my golf trolley. And I've got instant yardage on all the courses, no matter where I'm stood, where I'm going. And I can drive the pin around and all that kind of stuff. And it's brilliant. And it's free of charge. Most caddies have given this away free of charge. So it's not like the Sky Caddy stuff where you've got to pay an annual subscription and all that kind of rubbish. It's just a free GPS that you can get exact yardages of where you are on the course. And it's free on iOS. Just put in Motor Caddy into your search criteria. And Doc's checked it for me. It's available worldwide. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah.
This is super cool. I've always wanted them to get to the point where they have like little GPS in the ball or some way to track the ball so that when you hit it, I have a much better time finding it in the forest.
Oh, it needs to be waterproof then.
Yeah, I mean, the ball is waterproof. It's covered in serotonin. No, what is that called? Cerulean. I don't know where that slip came from. Cerulean is the word I was looking for.
Now at this point I'd normally read out reviews, but we haven't had any. Why aren't you giving us reviews in iTunes? Come on, this is what makes a difference to our podcast. Please give us reviews in iTunes, because it makes a world of difference to our position. And the last one we had was Rob's about saying we had great production values, so someone's got to challenge that, surely, especially after today. right, thank you. Where can we get a hold of you then, Doc?
Somewhere in the forest looking for my serotonin golf balls.
And your monkey wood.
That's what I'm going to make my drivers out of monkey wood. Anyway, you can find me at hospital, getting my finger sewn back on, or somewhere on this lovely network, all over the internets at DLCROCK.
It's a really intelligent golf ball. Because it's covered in serotonin.
Bruh, I don't even know where that came from.
Anna, where are you, mate?
You can find me over at MacCast.com or MacCast on iTunes, and about every week on the iOS show at theiosshow.com. And of course here and on Twitter, online, pretty much MacCast everywhere.
Thank you for coming and ruining your career with us every week, mate. We do appreciate it. And Patrice, where are you, mate?
Well, every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Yeah, we stopped screwing around with Thursdays. We're back on Fridays for a while now, so it shouldn't be a problem. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We got the big show at 8 p.m. tonight. It should be a good one. And see you next week. Thanks for listening.